Isaiah chapter 66. And our text for this evening is found there in verse 2. Verse 2. The Lord says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, namely the heavens and the earth. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. For to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." I want to look this evening at the man who trembles at the word of God. And let us begin by saying that we are indeed a very forgetful people. We're forgetful of the Lord's mercies. We're forgetful of the Lord's tokens of goodness and grace. We're forgetful at times of the Lord Himself. We have the Lord's table each month to help us remember the Lord and His atoning death, and the Savior said, "This do in remembrance of me." If we didn't have the Lord's table, we would forget all that the Lord accomplished at Calvary. He tells us also to remember His day. Remember the Lord's day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Need to be reminded of those things again and again. And I must say, in the light of the passage we read tonight, we also need to be reminded of who God is. Need to be constantly reminded of who God is. Here, addressing His chosen people, the Lord causes them to focus on the person of God. For He begins by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." When we come across those words, we ought to give attention to what follows. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." For the Lord was speaking to a people who had forgotten who God is. And here He speaks to them as their king. He addresses them from His throne. Now, it is not a throne that was measured and made by man. It was not a throne that had width and breadth and depth. No, our King says, "The heaven is my throne." And there God sits upon a throne which cannot be measured. It cannot be spanned, this throne upon which our King sits. Because, as Solomon has said, "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." The heavens cannot contain our God. How great, how vast, how measureless is the one we have come to worship this evening. We need always to remind ourselves of this. When those people today, even from religious circles, speak so flippantly and disparagingly of our God, They don't know who God is. For they would not address Him and speak of Him the way they do if they truly knew who God is. The throne for our God is the heavens. And even the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain our God. So none could prepare a throne for our God but God Himself. The heavens are the work of thine hands, wrote the psalmist. And again he said, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. This is who God is. This is whom we have come to worship. This is the one we fall down and adore and praise. Heaven is His throne. We would always do well to remember this. Even as we read in Nehemiah 9 and verse 6. Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, and Thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. Yes, He made the heavens for His throne, and He made the earth. But what is the earth to God? God's earth is His footstool. What's a footstool for to rest your feet upon? And God has made the earth, and the earth is nothing more than God's footstool. And if the whole earth is God's footstool, where do we come in? Where do you and I stand before God? The Savior said Himself, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool. If the whole earth is God's footstool, then we are prompted to say, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? So in the light of all this, in the light of the fact that heaven is God's throne, and the earth is His footstool, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, God then asks this question. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? If heaven cannot contain me, how can man then make a house of worship that will contain me? And here he refers, of course, to the temple, declaring that no matter how splendid or magnificent the temple might be, it cannot contain God. But the Lord looks beyond the temple in all its magnificence, in all of its beauty. He looks beyond the temple. He who has made heaven His throne and earth His footstool, He looks beyond the temple and He looks to a man. But to this man will I look. even to him that is poor. And the word poor there is not referring to someone who has been denied this world's earthly goods. The word poor means humble. I will look to this man, even to him that is humble and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So here we see the Lord saying, I will look favorably upon the man who is humble and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. God requires his people to be humble. This is what he requires. He also requires that we have that contrite spirit. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self-centeredness. As far as God is concerned, he looks to the man who is humble and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at his word. What does it mean to tremble at God's word? Have you and I ever trembled at the word of God? Have we ever experienced this trembling? When we have either read the word or had the word preached to us. Who is the man who trembles at the word? Let us look at this man tonight and see if we bear any resemblance to this man. The man who trembles at the word of God is a man that reveres God's word. That's the man who trembles at God's word. He reveres God's holy word. To this man, when he looks upon God's word and he looks upon the Bible, he sees the Bible as the book of all books. He has no hesitation in making the claim that there is not a book to be compared to this book. We would stand with that man tonight in his claim. And when he speaks about what is written on the pages of this book, he speaks as Paul speaks. When he addressed Timothy, and said to Timothy that as from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. He looks upon the Bible as the holy Bible. He reveres this book. There is no book like it. Paul said of Timothy that from a child he had known and learned the holy scriptures. He didn't say that this child learned the scriptures. He said the holy scriptures. It's good to teach our children that this book is a holy book. And this book is the holy scriptures. Or again, as Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 2, the oracles of God. And so the man that trembles at God's word is the man that reveres this book. That's why he trembles before it. Because he believes the Bible to be the inspired word of God. The man who does not tremble, or rather the man who does not believe this book to be the inspired word of God, will never tremble at this word. If it's not inspired, then it's just an ordinary book. No reason to tremble before it. But the man who believes the Bible to be inspired, will tremble. For he knows it's the word of God. It is the word of the one who has made the heavens his throne and the earth his footstool. He knows well the words of Paul again to Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is a word that means God breathed. Think of it. When we have this Bible in our hands, we have God's own breathed word. We have here, as it were, the very breath of God. And my believer, when we get that into our minds, so that when we read the word and study the word and hear the word preached, we will tremble before it, because this is God's own breathed word. This is the breath of Jehovah. You're not fooling around with the word. Whenever we get that into our minds and accept that, the human authors were powerfully guided and directed by God's Spirit to write what they wrote. We read over in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. The word interpretation is a word that means origination. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private origination. It didn't originate with man, it originated with God. This was God's word. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the man who reveres the Holy Word, the man who looks upon this Bible as God's own breathed word, that man will tremble at God's word, because he believes it to be inspired. All Scripture. He believes every word in Scripture to be inspired. I've no time for these modern day critics that tear the word apart and say, oh, this passage doesn't belong to the inspired word. Oh, the book of Isaiah has two or three different authors. Part of the 8th chapter of John doesn't believe or doesn't belong to the inspired word. Part of the 16th chapter of Mark shouldn't be in the Bible. I've no time for boys like that. I believe the word when it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every chapter, every verse, every sentence, every word, every letter, every jot and every tittle is inspired by God. The man who believes that will be the man who will tremble at the word when he studies it, reads it, and hears it preached. He believes that not only is this an inspired word, being inspired by God, being God-breathed word, he then obviously believes it's an infallible word. Being God-breathed word, it must be infallible. Those who do not regard the book to be inspired or infallible will never tremble at the word. Those who claim that God's word is full of contradictions and mistakes will never revere this word and will never tremble before it. Never tremble as the word is preached to them, because they don't believe half of it's true. Preach to them about the horrors of hell, and they will laugh in your face, because they don't believe a word what the Bible has to say about hell. They know that from the DVD that is on the table. Those so-called ministers who were interviewed, when they were challenged about these things, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if the Bible teaches that. I don't know if I would believe that. Dear, help them. They'll find out soon enough, hell is true. Hell is real. But there are those today, and you preach to them about the horrors of hell, and they'll laugh in your face. Don't believe a word of it. Open the book and explain to them what the Bible says about the great white throne judgment. Tell them about the separations. Tell them about the sentence that will be handed down from the great white throne. Tell them about the sorrows that will be experienced by the ungodly in the day of judgment. They'll say, away with you, preacher. I don't believe a word you're saying. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. They will say, I don't believe a word of it. When they ought to be trembling, they're sitting at ease in Zion. But this man knows better than that. This man trembles at the word because he knows this word is inspired. He knows it's God's word. He knows this word is infallible. Every word in it is true. And there's not a mistake. There is not a contradiction. And everything the Bible teaches about hell is true. And everything the Bible teaches about heaven is true. And everything the Bible says about sin is true. It's all true. You know, believer, when we believe, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all true. I believe we'll tremble at the word. Have you ever been in a meeting when the preacher preached on hell? That even though you're saved, still you trembled. Because you knew the person sitting beside you was not saved. And that's where they were hit. You ever been in a meeting when the great white throne was lifted up before your eyes? And you could see the multitude stand before God. And you could hear the sentence, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Did you not tremble? The man who believes this book, who reveres this book, who lifts this book up as the holy word of God, will tremble because this book is inspired and this book is infallible. And whatever he hears preached from it, he knows it's true. He'll tremble before the word because he knows that it is not only inspired and infallible, it is an inquiring word. He trembles because every time he opens the word, he is not sure what part of his life the word will examine, what secret sin the word will expose, and what presumptuous sin the word will rebuke. He trembles every time he listens to the preaching of the word, lest the word singles him out, searches him through and through, exposes his sin. Dear Christian, whenever a preacher preaches the word and deals with a sin that you're familiar with, and deals with a sin that is in your life, and exposes a sin that's in your heart, don't blame the preacher. Don't lift up your voice against the preacher. He's only preaching God's word. He's preaching what God has given him to preach. I'm going to say anything against anybody, say it against the Lord. Yes, there's a trembling. Turn with me, please, to Ezra. There in the book of Ezra, the word is brought before the people. In Ezra chapter 9, and the word of God rebuked people for their sin and their slackness and their lack of separation and their compromise. And there we read in Ezra 9 and verse 4, verse 3 we might read, "And when I heard this thing," but the lack of separation, the holy seed mingling with the people of the lands, Ezra says, "When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonied." Couldn't believe what he had heard. He sat down astonied, motionless. He was in shock. Verse 4. "Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonied until the evening sacrifice." The word of God had exposed the sin of the people, and it had caused the people with Ezra to tremble. Verse 3 of chapter 10. "Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law." Man that trembles at the word will be a man that will want to put right what the word of God has exposed. They trembled before God because they knew great sin and transgression had been committed. What did Paul say in Hebrews 4 and verse 12? "For the word of God is quick." Word of God is living. Should never forget that. This is a living word. It's a living word. How else can we explain our brother William's testimony? It was in some of our magazines a year or so ago. He went out And he was living in Alaska. He went out one time to commit suicide. And there lying in the snow was a discarded track. And he lifted that track and he started to read it. And he came under conviction of sin and got saved. How else can you explain that? Other than the scripture that was contained in that tract was living. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And my, when you see the Word of God like that, would it not cause us to tremble? For the Word of God just lays us bare. It's like the butcher. He takes the animal and he just cuts it down in the middle and slices this bit and that bit. And there the animal lies bare. Cut to pieces. Nothing is hidden. That's what the Word of God is. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. That's why this man would tremble at the Word. Because the Word is sharp and will cut open his heart and lay bare before a holy God. He trembles at the thought of what God will see there in that heart. Ought we not to tremble if we believe God's word is capable of searching out the dark recesses of our hearts? We ought to tremble at the word, we come to the house of God. As we think about what sin in my life will be exposed today. We believe that what Jeremiah preached, then we ought to tremble. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that we know our own hearts. We don't. Not for one minute. We'll always think well of ourselves. But the Word of God will tell us the truth about ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. How? Through the Word. The Word searches the heart. I try the reins. How? By the Word. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Should not be our prayer. Prayer of the psalmist. Psalm 139. Verse 23. It's quoted a couple of times today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. My actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye. To me my ways make clear. Search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the chambers where polluted things hold empire o'er my soul. When we know how the Word of God can search us, would that not cause us to tremble? It ought to. It ought to. Then this man who trembles at the word is a man who not only reveres the word, he's a man who also receives the word. The man who trembles at the word is the man who will take to heart all the Lord saith unto him. That's true. Micaiah the prophet. I like what Micaiah the prophet said. He said, as the Lord liveth, that what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Well, the man who trembles at the word of God might say, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I receive. Whatever God has to say to me from his word, I'll receive it. And that man will receive the word willingly. The man who trembles at the word will receive God's truth with great willingness. Every believer should be like the Berean believers. For there in Acts 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They received the word with all readiness. They took it in. But they didn't stop there. They then searched the scriptures daily. They wanted more and more of the word. There's evidently a hunger there for the word. The man who trembles at the word cannot get enough of God's word. Cannot get enough of God's truth. And he wouldn't want it to be otherwise. He's like the prophet. He was given the word to preach. And the Lord told him, before he preached the word, he himself was to eat the word. That prophet was Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 2, and there in verse 7, Ezekiel 2 and verse 7, and I shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. And then we read in verse 1 to 3 in the chapter 3, moreover he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. The reference there is to the roll that contained the word of God that he was to preach. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. That's the word. The word of God is as honey. It's like the manna. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. And no matter what the word of God teaches, the man who trembles at the word will receive the word as sweet as honey. Whether it's a word of rebuke or a word of correction or a word of chastisement or a word of comfort or a word of strengthening, he'll receive it all. And every word will be as sweet as honey to him. Is that a good attitude to have? Instead, when the word is preached and it touches on something we don't agree with, might we get our backs up? How dare that man preach on that? Remember when we met in Newton Abbey in the Orange Hall. Man came to the services. And as far as he was concerned, those first few visits thought the church there in that Orange Hall was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, this is what I want. This is what I've been looking for. Just so happened, I think it was on his third visit, I was preaching on tithing. That touches a sore spot with Nelly. And he came to the door, he says, I'll not be back again. I don't believe tithing's for today at all. Never saw him again. That word wasn't as sweet as honey to him. It's bitter to his taste. Him saying he didn't believe it was for today was really just an excuse for not giving anything to the work of God. That's what that was all about. Oh, doesn't the Lord love a cheerful giver? But not only will he receive the word willingly, this man who trembles at the word, he'll receive the word of God wholly. All of it. He'll take it all in. You've seen little children sitting at the table. You set a meal before them. There it is, all on the plate. And before they start eating, start picking this out. And they set this to the side and something else to the side. And they say, Mommy, I don't like those things. You know, people do that with the Word of God. They take out things that they don't like. Wasn't it a number of years ago that the Reader's Digest brought out a Bible, an abridged version of the Bible, and just cut out things that they thought were not relevant for today, or passages of Scripture that had been repeated? Didn't see the need to put them in there the second time. Well, God saw the need. That's why they're there. And so what did they do? They just hacked and cut and tore the Bible to pieces. People do that today. There are certain truths and certain doctrines that they wish was not in the Bible at all. Remember speaking to a lady one time, I can't remember what the issue was, and I quoted Paul. She says to me, "Oh, I wouldn't believe everything Paul said." I don't know where she was coming from with that. Obviously didn't believe that Paul's words were inspired. But these people remind me of the king. He was far too liberal with his penknife. You turn please to Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah 36 and verse 20. The word of God has been brought before the king to be read. He's sitting there in his summer house. The word is brought to him and read to him. The word of God, remember. We read in Jeremiah 36 verse 20, and they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudai read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudai had read the three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the hearth, until the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. Mark the next few words. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. And there are people like that king today, and they'll take the penknife and they just hack and cut this Bible to shreds. They don't like this doctrine, so they just cut it out. They don't like that truth, so they just cut it out. Those are the sort of people I would put a great deal of distance between me and them. No, they don't like it. But the thing that is grieving here, this king cut the word of God to shreds, and it says, yet they were not afraid. The man who trembles at the word would be afraid to take one letter from this book. He would be afraid to take one word from this book. And there are men occupying pulpits today, and they go under the name of minister, and they take their penknives and they cut out those passages that deal with Christ's virgin birth. And they cut out those words that deal with a sinless life. And they cut out those passages that deal with his atoning death and his bodily resurrection. Why do they do that? Because they don't believe them. They cut out the passages that deal with the new birth and repentance and regeneration, because they don't believe them. Not to mention the Savior's miracles. Dory and I got married. We were going to an old apostate church, an Anglican church, and the minister there didn't believe the miracles of Christ. Had his penknife, cut all the passages out that dealt with the miracles of Christ. The man that trembles at the word receives the word with wonder, with willingness. He receives it all. And every time he's before the word, he's filled with wonder. Psalm 119, verse 18, would be the prayer of every man and woman who wonders at God's word. What is that prayer? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That ought to be our prayer. Every time we get down to our devotions at home, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. The word wondrous is the same word for wonderful, the name that's given to Christ. Open my eyes that I may see Christ. Is there a greater wonder in all of Scripture than Jesus Christ in his life and in his death? The man that trembles at the word is like the psalmist when he said, my heart standeth in awe. Standeth in awe of thy word. Tell me. Let us be honest tonight. When was the last time we stood in awe of God's word? That we tremble at the word. Something we need to examine our hearts about. Standing in awe, or the word awe is the word fear. There it is. Man who trembles at the word, he stands in awe. For this is no ordinary book.
This is the book of books. This is the king of all books. Hallelujah. Finally, and very briefly, he's a man who responds to God's word. A humble man with the contrite spirit who trembles at the word of God will respond to everything the word has to teach him. That'll be his prayer. His prayer will be that of the psalmist. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That'll be his prayer. Let it be our prayer. Lord, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That lets me know that man is sensitive to the word. How sensitive are we? How sensitive are we even tonight, listening to the word of God? Would we pray that prayer? Would we speak those words? Order my steps in thy word. It's the prayer of a man who trembles at God's word. That's his prayer, and then it's his practice. You know the words in James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We hear what God has to say, the man who trembles before God, whenever he's told there's something in your life, my friend, you need to put right. What he hears, he'll put into practice. What he hears, he'll put into practice. If he's been slack in prayer and the word of God rebukes him for it, he'll put it into practice. If he's rebuked about a lack of holiness in his life, whatever the word of God has to say on the subject, he'll put it into practice. That's the man who trembles at the word. That's the man who trembles at the word. It'll be his prayer and his practice. It'll be his praise. This man will praise the Lord for speaking to him through his word. He will praise him if it's a word of rebuke, he'll still praise him. If it's a word of correction, he'll still praise him. If it's a word of encouragement, he'll praise him. If it's a word of strengthening, he'll praise him. How near are we to that man? That humble, contrite man who trembles at the word. How near are we to him? Do we praise him for every word we hear? Whether or not it touches some nerve, as it were, in our soul. And you know something? Even in our praise, we are to tremble. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Need to be careful how we praise the Lord. Need to be careful. We're not flippant and fleshly and carnal. Even in praising God, we're to tremble. Yes, the Lord said he would look to that man, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That pleases God. If you and I tremble at his word, that pleases him, that honors him, and God will favor us. May the Lord make us a people who will tremble at His word. Let's bow our heads in prayer.